Hello guys, welcome to the Man Strong Podcast. This is Clint Locklear, and we're going to discuss several things today. Go, no go. We're going to discuss one of the attributes from Iron John, the book, where it uses mythology and literally thousands of years of turning boys into men, and maybe what's going on with some of the men today. And we're going to talk a little bit about training or getting in shape, and just some different things to think about, and so you don't get locked into one point of view on what a PR is, because a PR can be many things and they're all just as valuable, and they don't have to always be just about the weight. So before we get in these topics, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. If you're into trapping, you're into predator calling, he's got some great deals on predator calls. I know, I was amazed. I spent some time with him down at a deer show in Birmingham, and the quality and the sound, and how everybody wanted certain versions because they were updated and so cool. But the price is what's amazing, because back when I was buying predator calls and I was going to Texas and we was using them for different things, you know, it was $2.99 plus the cards plus the sounds, and before you got done, you're at $399 if you ever got one of them home. So if you're looking for something like that, get Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan will definitely take care of you. All right. I was watching one of the shows I like to watch, guys, is Forged in Fire. Now, I've never forged a knife. I've never done that. I've looked at it from a prepping point of view before on how that happens. But the show, it's got, you know, it brings different guys in. They have different experience, and they if you've never not seen it, they make them start with a piece of metal. They got like 3 hours to present a blade, and they got 2 hours to put a handle on it and get it sharpened and everything. Then they test it. But when they give the knives, they give parameters. So the knife has to be, you know, 9 to 11 inches long. It needs to have a drop point, or it needs to have a false edge, or whatever the parameters are, like what type of handle it has to be. Does it need to have a skull crusher on the back, or does it need to have a hole for a lanyard? Depending on what the tests are they're going to do, then they test them, and they go, and it keeps going through the contest. But they just had a series on where they had the four services go against each other, and the way they did this was you had four Army blacksmiths compete in the best one won, and four from the Navy, four from the Air Force, four from the Marines, and they have the same type setup. It's the same. They have these parameters. Now, what's interesting, when I watch the military ones, Army won, of course, the whole thing. But what I watched was the difference in the understanding of standards with a go and no-go type standard from the military guys over the civilian guys. Now see, when I was in the military, most things were just a go or no go. Go means you pass, no go means you don't pass. And the military is very matter of fact about these standards. So let's say, like in to graduate from airsoft school, we had to do a 12-mile road march with ruck, weapon, boots. And you had to do that 12-mile road march in, if I remember right, it's 3 hours. It's right at a 4-mile-an-hour pace, which if you've never walked for 2.5 to 3 hours or 4 miles, it's dang near jogging. It's moving out. But it's a school, and you got to prove that you want to be there, and that's part of the standards that you go. So here's how the military looks at go and no-go. Let's say you start the road march at Air Assault School in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. It's 110 degrees, which is about what it felt like if it wasn't that when I did mine. You start the road march. Now, there's more people. You're not on one straight line, so the people that are in the back of the line, just because of whatever, they've got to catch up some time. Nobody cares. let's say that you're 5 miles into this road march and you twist your ankle and a paramedic comes up behind you and tapes you back up and gets you going, and you're 3 hours and 1 second crossing the line. You're a no-go. If there was a car wreck that happened along the lines of the road march in Air Assault School, where there's a no-go and a go and no-go situation, and you had to stop and you had to move a car off 20 orphaned little broken kids with the mamas inside, and you pulled them all away, and then the car went up in a fire and you had to wait on the police. If that happened on this road march and you were 3 hours and 1 second before you got to the finish line, regardless of you saving the children, it's a no-go. In the military, we had something called a CIB training. I was in the infantry, airborne infantry. So when we had this training, it happened every year, and you had an opportunity to win a combat infantry badge. It wasn't really being in combat, but it was all of the skills that you needed to be a certain level of an infantry soldier. And everybody wanted one because it had a lot to do with rank, and you got to wear a little patch and all that type stuff if you didn't have a combat infantry badge. And it was just more of a status. It was more of a symbol of you are a professional. Every one of these stations is go or no go. And this is like, if I remember right, it's like a 3 or a 5 day course. You train. So they, like for an example, you'll have a physical part where you've got to pass a PT test, which is go or no go. And then you'll have being on the range. You have to meet a certain standard. If you don't meet the standard, regardless if an airplane falls out of the sky and breaks the tip of your weapon off, you're still a no go if you don't meet the standard. And then you'll have stuff like first aid, CPR, setting up Claymore mines. One that got a lot of people was talking back and forth on the radio, bringing in artillery. There's certain words you never say in the military. One of them is repeat. And the other guys on the radio would on purpose say something you couldn't understand. And the habit is, would you repeat that? Well, if you say repeat and you're dealing with artillery, you're saying resend the last fire mission. And that could be death and destruction on your own guys. So repeat is never allowed on a radio in the military. And if you say it once, it's a no-go. If you get it 99.9% right, but it's not 100% right, it's a no-go. And to get the CIB, and I'm probably off on this, I think there was probably, 25 stations, 20 stations. It could have been 30 stations. I'm not really sure. It was a lot because they were super detailed. It's not just you had to know the standards. You had to understand the standard. You had to perform the standard. And I think you're allowed to miss one or two out of the whole group of all these things to get a combat infantry badge, and then you could still get it. But everybody wanted to be the guy that completely passed 100%. And it took me 2 years to get to that standard personally. But it was a go or no go. See, in the military, this type of mindset, to me, is part of the reason men are so soft today. Because there are no standards. There's nothing out there where there are set standards, because set standards have no feelings. They have no mercy. They have no understanding of your situation. They don't care about your personal life. They don't care how physically you're beat up. They don't care what the weather was. They don't care that your car broke down. They don't care that you and your wife are fighting. They don't care if your kids are sick. Go and no go does not have mercy. And the reason the military does that is because when you have a mission, there is no mercy. If you need to be at an extraction point at 03:30 in the morning, and you've got the guys, especially in combat missions, and you've got the guys that they take away from the 160th Special Forces Black Hawk Group, and they come in to be there at 3:30. If your unit's not there, they leave because they're scheduled for other stuff. They can't wait on you. See, civilians, it's all about, it's okay. I mean, they tried, you know, they gave it their effort. You know, they tried to do it for the Gipper. They had all this type stuff. When it comes to missions, every part of that is go or no go, because there's other people that's relying on you. And in the military, it can be very seriously life or death. So the training that they had, and what I saw on Forged in Fire, when there was a few of the guys in the military that realized they didn't meet the standards, to them, it was no big deal that they were asked to leave. Were they disappointed? Sure. But they didn't get upset, because they understood the standards. But see, today, in our world today, what standards are there? I'm not saying you as a man should act like you're a sergeant in the military. That's not what I'm saying here. But I'm saying you as a man, if you're going to be a mature male and be the example for your children or your wife or the people that are around you, or be able to lead other men in a business or in sports or, you know, zombie apocalypse, whatever it is, you have to be able to understand standards yourself and look at things in this way. If business understood go and no go, wow, would America be unleashed? Because this is what happens with go and no go when you understand this and you apply this in your everyday life. So if I'm looking and I want to, and I decide that I'm going to put a new product out, a new animal scent per se, and I want to have it by a certain day, in my mind, that's go or no go. Yeah, I can change it. I can move it forward. I can move it backward. There's no boss over me. But once I set that in place, I lock it in as go or no go. And if I don't do it, then I look at it like it's a failure. If I do it, then it's not like a great big attaboy. See, these are standards. It's just something you should be able to do. If you need to make more money inside of your business, and you looked at things inside of your business with a go, no-go mentality, where they're just standards. We're not talking the high standards in the world. Most of the time, they're minimum standards to be able to function, doing some type of exercise or physical demand or a mental demand. It could be sales. It could be revenue. It could be how many clients you get. It could be a lot of different things, but see, that's not the way we work. And I think because there's such a lack of go and no-go standards anymore, people have become soft. All you have to do is look at kids' sports today. Majority of kids in the world today, they don't understand. Their parents refuse to have a coach that's a go or no-go. And a lot of kids don't even play sports where they keep score. Now, the funny thing about that is everybody in the stands know who lost. Both teams know who's lost. But you got some, you know, feel-good nanny over there somewhere that doesn't want to have someone get their feelings hurt because they lost, so they put out the score. See, sports, competition for young people, you figure out pretty quick that you're not the most special, gifted person in the world, even though your mama tells you that you are. That's what competition does. It also teaches you, if you don't meet the standard of the competition, you're out. You lose. That is a great life lesson. That does not hurt somebody's personal view of theirself if they understand what competition is. Because truth be known, all kids need to get their ass kicked in competition. That's part of growing up. If not, you see what we get a lot with the millennials. They don't care about anything, it seems like. They don't care about work. They don't care about work ethic. They don't care if the business succeeds. You know, the only thing they care about is who can be the most cynical and the most smartass when it comes to having a conversation with somebody that's older. That seems to be what the genre of that is. Do the minimum just to get a paycheck. And then they wonder why they're always in that minimum. Because why would you pay them more if they're not willing to work more? But see, because there's no standards here. And I would almost dare to say in America today, if a business went off a go or no-go type thing, they would probably be sued. Because everybody would bring in all this other stuff. And to me, that is a sad way to try to run a business. If you're supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock and you get there at 8:01 and that's the agreement between you and the employer, I personally think he's to tell you to go home and you don't get paid. See, that's harsh in today's world. But you know why people are 15 minutes late every day? It's because it's okay to be 15 minutes late every day. No standards. You want to know why it's okay to be lazy at work? Because the standard is being lazy at work. If businesses didn't allow lazy people in their business, they'd have a better business. That's just so harsh. I mean, that's just so uncaring in today's world. Is it? Is it really? Is it uncaring to have standards that if you're paying somebody that they need to perform before they get money from you? Is that really that harsh? Because here's the deal. If you're on time for a year and you're a few minutes late at work, obviously something happened. If you're late every day and you've got an excuse for every day of the week, you're basically saying you don't care to be there on time. See, it's a lack of standards. If you as a person were to look at what you're doing on an everyday basis and put it in the context of go and no-go, what that does is it strips away all of the weakness and all of the little words that get inside of your head that it's okay for you to be a loser. Because if you are not a go, you're a loser at that task. Ooh, masculine toxicity all over that one, I'm sure a parent would say. But that used to be what it was. When I was young, if you were told to be somewhere at 9, you were there 5 minutes ahead. And if you were there at 3 minutes, or, you know, if you're there on time, you were considered late. How have we changed from that? See, in the military, if you were late, like for formation, there's serious consequences. It could be jail time, believe it or not. You learn pretty quick, you know, if it's a real mission, you don't play games with the time. But just think about this as you go through your day and your week and your month and your year. What standards have you set for yourself that you're going to stand up to? See, if people looked at life like go and no-go, and someone's been on a diet for the last 30 years and still's walking around jiggly everywhere, see, there's a standard problem. What happens is, without a standard, with a no-go and no-go, it's easy to have lack of discipline. And that is a sign of a immature male. So if you're going to have discipline, and you're going to go on it, you say you need to lose 40 pounds, and 3 days into it, you get a little bit hungry and you're so weak that you can't control yourself and you start eating pizza and beer, guess what? That's a no-go. You don't need someone to tell you go or no go. You know it's no go if you have standards set on that. If you're weak physically and you realize that that's not going to be helpful for you as you get older and you set standards so that is not going to be who you are, then you need to strive to be go and not no go. It's just part of our world that has become where everything is about. It's not so much that people are worried about doing what they're supposed to do. They spend as much or more time than they would do in the work trying to come up with ways to get out of not having a standard. So they make excuses and stories. If you don't believe them, they get their feelings hurt. And after the 30th time, everybody knows they're a liar. Everybody knows they're making this crap up, but they still get butthurt about it, and they still get all fired up, and how dare you think I'm not telling you the truth? Well, no, you ain't told the truth since you've been here, so, I mean, why am I going to take exception now? See, it's not that hard to figure out. But people spend, it's almost like the new job is how to explain why you're not doing your job. Lack of standards. Because if a business were to go that way, oh my word, how powerful they would be. Which is one of the reasons, if I was a business owner, I would not hire anybody with a college degree. Why would I bring that propaganda into my business? Because there is no standards. There's no standards in college anymore. It's all on a curve. And it's all on a curve because nobody has standards. It's all about getting graduates for the professors to get more money. It's not if they actually understand anything, if they actually learn anything. And all that money's being spent for what? And the propaganda from all of the nonsense of the deconstruction and all the crap that goes on in college now, why would a business owner ever want to bring someone with a modern college degree inside of their business and poison everything else? See, that would be a standard of mine. That'd be a go or a no-go. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, which to me, in today's world, again, this is going to be a foreign concept. I do not want to get into the particulars of why this has been on my mind lately. If you've never read the book, I highly suggest you get the Audible book for Iron John. It is a book based off of mythology and thousands and thousands of years of how society turned men or boys into men. And what's interesting, you'll hear a phrase in there several times that this predates Christ. So people, even before Christ, knew there were certain things that males had to go through before they could be mature males, before they could be good dads, before they could be good leaders of a community, a business, or whatever. And one of the things, when you get into this book, that does not happen anymore, because I don't know what has happened to parents, but one of the traits of actually maturing as a male throughout the world, throughout time of human beings, is the male has to struggle, he has to find his own way, and basically he's going to be dirt poor. Whew, that's rough if you're a parent, I'm sure. But see, here's the deal. If the child, the male child, maybe more specific because we got 40-year-old man children running around out there. For a younger child to mature into a mature male, he's got to struggle. financially. And there's all throughout all of the philosophy and going back, because how can you have, you know, like one example is Zeus knowledge if you've never struggled? And it's pretty clear. You have a very rich, flamboyant family. They have children. They get everything they ever want. They never need for money. They just have an account or a trust fund, credit cards. You can get them to get good grades. You can do whatever. But you pretty much got a crap head when it's all said and done. And he's a person no one wants to be around. He's never going to be a leader. He's not going to be mature. He's not going to understand the gifts that he's been given because he's never had to earn them. And he gets skewed in his everyday life when it comes to what it means to be a real male. Now, in Iron John, there's several things in there that you'll find, but one of them that boils down to over and over again is the male needs to leave the house. Now, what happens when a male needs to leave the house today? Well, he's going to have a crappy apartment. He's going to have a low-paying job, probably. He's going to struggle. He's going to be eating ramen noodles. He's not going to have enough money to go out and do whatever he wants to do. But what it does is it separates the male from the feminine, where someone's taking care of him. But if someone's always taking care of him, he never grows up. He never has to grow up. And today, there is a whole generation of mama's boys that don't see a reason to go get a job. They don't see a reason to start a business. They don't really see a reason to start revenue streams, because they have a safety net of basically mama. And it can be the dad, but if the dad's doing this, he's acting like mama. So they don't understand the urgency of getting off your butt, going outside the cave, killing something, and dragging it back home. And they struggle. And even if you keep supplying them with money, until you cut the cord, and until you make them stand on their own two feet, you've got an immature mama's boy that feels sorry for themselves if they have to struggle through anything. Pretty much everybody I know that's my age, I'm going through everybody that I run around with, that I'm close friends with in my head right now. I can say pretty certainly all of us, when we got married, were basically way below the poverty level. Way below it. Seeing that taught a lesson. Nobody's going to give you anything. Part of the mature male to me is you go make something. That's part of the character of being a male. You go out and you conquer something. You learn something. You start your businesses. You go and do what you need to do to get the right job so you can support your family. You take the misery that comes along with that, because there is misery. There's sacrifice. And then when stuff starts turning around, because that's the natural evolution from boy to a man, if he's going to be a man, you appreciate what you get towards the end. The other day, Travis, I have been saving up for several years now for a car that I've always wanted. Always wanted one since I've seen them. And the other day, I found a 2009 SRT8 Dodge Challenger with a 6.1 Hemi and a 6-speed manual transmission with 10,600 miles. It's 10 years old. The thing looks brand new. It actually still smells new. It has no mileage on it. And I saved about $30,000 if I were to go buy a new one. So I bought this one. I've saved up the money. I bought it. I wanted one for a long time. I love the muscle car. The part of the me growing up was with hot rods. I was driving Chevys, and because you could build them cheaper, didn't have the money. And I did a whole bunch of street racing, which today they probably throw you into the jail for. But I've always wanted a Mopar. I've always wanted a Dodge. They're expensive. The older Challenges and the GTXs and stuff like that, they were so expensive, and they were so expensive to build. I didn't have the money. I could dream about them. I could not have them. Well, me and Cindy got married. We're pretty much dirt poor for several years. I started building up businesses. We started doing some better things as we matured. Now I can afford to save up money to go pay cash for my Challenger, which is what I did, because I did not want to have payments on a toy. So I got this thing. And Travis, which is my helper, if you don't know who he is, he's 22 years old. He goes, why do guys your age, how come they always have cars like this? And I thought about it a minute, and I went, well, because it's probably the first time in our life that we probably could afford a car just for a toy. I mean, I got this thing so me and Cindy can go out on a date. I take it to the gym every now and then. I may drive it to Chattanooga. We may take it on a short vacation. I'm still driving the Jeep pretty much. It's a toy. It's not needed. It's not necessary in our life. But we went through the struggle of being poor to understand that. Now, see, here's the difference between this and an immature male. Immature male has to have the newest car anyway, even if he can't afford it, so he gets in debt. Can't have a starter home. When we moved into our house now, that's probably worth $180,000, we paid $60,000 for it, $67,000 to be exact. Brick home, nice. But see, somehow, to us, when we got that $67,000 house, which was just an average price 20 years ago, it meant a whole lot to us. If someone would just handed us the keys, it wouldn't have meant the same. But we went through the poor stage to get to where, at 50 years old, I can finally afford to go out and buy a toy that I've always wanted. Sacrifice young, you get the benefits later. But without young people struggling today, they don't understand the sacrifice part. That's why it goes from struggle to oppressor. It's the business's fault I don't make more money. It's my parents' fault I don't make more money. Somebody's being mean to me, I don't make more money. It's never up to them to make more money. So they get in debt. Immature people do stupid stuff on a more consistent basis. And they won't say that if I was that way and 20 years ago, I would have bought a Challenger. Well, they didn't have them 20 years ago, not this kind. But I would have bought whatever I wanted, and I couldn't afford it. It would have put me and my wife in a very precarious money situation. But that's the reason I think guys that are 45 and 50 and 55, you see them in Vets, you see them in Challengers, you see them in Porsches, you see them in all kinds of stuff. Because they went through this cycle. So if you have children, and since I don't have any, you can say that I shouldn't be saying stuff like this, but it's my podcast. You need to cut the ties when that boy is old enough and legal enough to go be poor and miserable on his own. You're not doing him any favors by letting him stay at home. You're not doing him any favors by giving him money. You're not doing them any favors whatsoever. It's kind of like, I think his name Dave Kershaw. He's a senator, the Navy SEAL with the eye patch. He was on Joe Rogan. He kept using the phrase with Joe Rogan because Joe Rogan's more liberal. He's more conservative. Well, is that policy going to make you feel good, or is it going to do good? When you're thinking about your children, that should be a standard. Are you doing it to make yourself feel good, or are you doing it to do good? Because it's hard for a young person to go from all of the comfort of your home, your food, your insurance, your cars, you're paying the cell phone bills, you're just letting them be, you know, 20-year-old, 8-year-olds, and then they got to go out and realize stuff actually costs real money that they have to earn. And it's a struggle. It's supposed to be a struggle. And it needs to be away from mom and dad. They will figure it out. They will figure it out. We all did. When I was growing up, if you were at home when you were 20 years old, something was wrong with you. I left when I was 17. That was normal. Financially, it sucked. For maturity reasons, it was the right thing to do. Iron John, if you have children, you need to, it's hard to read, it's easier to listen to. Iron John, get that book. Have you and your wife listen to it. She will not like a lot of it. Because she's a mom. She's not supposed to worry about turning the young man and the young boy into a man. That's your job. Her job is to pamper and try to do everything in her power to keep the grown man a baby until it dies if you let her. The book puts it in such a way that even a mom that wants to keep the baby boy when he's 25 years old will see the damage she's doing to the child to do that. And last thing I want to talk about, guys, is PRs. If you're doing anything to be healthier and stronger and more nimble, you're probably going to be lifting weights. I think for older people, it is the healthiest thing that you can do. It's way healthier than running. It's way healthier than bicycling. It's way healthier. Well, I won't say it's healthier than walking because you need to do that. But once you realize you need to keep the muscle on your body so you're not feeble, because think about this. What happens when anything in life gets feeble? It dies. If you have a house cat or dog and it's healthy and it gets sick and then it starts losing weight and it starts getting weaker and it starts losing muscle and loses its fat, it's getting feeble. You know what's coming next. It's death. That's the way the world works. That's the standard. So if you're getting on up in age and you're 45 or you're 50 or you're 55 or you're 60 or 70, don't become feeble. So if you've been listening to this podcast at all, I've been pushing this. You don't have to be weak because you're 55 years old. That is horse crap. That's from lazy people that don't say nothing and use that as an excuse to be lazy. They're becoming feeble because they choose to be feeble. If you have some type of, serious disease, that can change the equation. But your goal is to have the body to be able to withstand that and eat good enough to be able to resist that so you're not falling, you're not dying of sugar and you're not dying of processed food, which is most of the diseases that we have today that everybody thinks there's nothing you can do about. So you're going to lift weights. You're going to do strongman type stuff. Maybe you get into powerlifting. Maybe you get into power building, which is a combination of bodybuilding and powerlifting. Or you get into bodybuilding. Or some type of circuit training or CrossFit or whatever it is that you like to do. It needs to build muscle. It needs to build bone density. And it needs to make you as non-feeble as possible. But when you're doing all this, you need to have, oh my good, here comes this word again, standards. And one of the standards of any type of resistance type training are PRs, and that just basically means It's a private record, personal record, PR. So if you start lifting weights and you're benching 225, you want to be able to get a PR with your bench to advance whatever it is you're doing. As we get older, it doesn't have to be weight, because there becomes a point where weight becomes more injury prone than healthy. So what do I mean by this? If you're going to do PRs, what you need to do, you can do it with weight to a certain point. You can do it with, so if you're benching 225 for one, a new PR could be 225 for two. So you're not adding more weight and stuff on your joints. It could be, eventually you want your PR to be 225 for 25. And then what if you put two fives on each side? Now you could start this PR over again. And instead of being 225, you'd be 235. Instead of just looking at PRs like a powerlifter does, where it's weight, 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 weight. Because eventually, you're going to start struggling, because as we get older, things have a tendency not to recuperate as fast. That is part of life, but it doesn't mean that you just lay down and quit the way most people do. So you have to be smarter about it. Another way to get a PR without doing any more damage to your body, possibly through weight, is less time between sets. It could be doing slower reps. It could be faster reps. It could be learning to use bands or chains. It can be a lot of different things besides just the weight. Because if you're like when I first started back, I was in the powerlifting mindset, and I would want to keep adding weight to stuff like deadlifts and different things like that. The way I've transitioned, which I think is smarter now, is instead of worrying about doing 450 or 500 pounds on a deadlift, now I do four or five sets with 365 or 315, depends on how I'm feeling that day. And then I may do a couple of sets like today, because back today was deadlift, rack pull, good mornings, and shrugs. It was all back day. It was all making man back strap day. Instead of me worrying about the singles on the weight, I'm now interested in adding weight to reps. So I can tell today, after doing four sets of 315 on deadlift, that next time I'm going to add 10s on each side. If I can still do the same amount of reps, I will add another 10 pounds on each side until I have to work through that to get back up to the four sets in control with good form on a deadlift. Now I could just go, well, I want to see how much I deadlift now, and keep adding on weight and take a chance on getting injured. Not saying that's a bad thing, all that, you know, to do sometimes, but it's not a way to train all the time, especially if you're getting up in age at all. If you want to really smoke a muscle, take less rest time between your sets. Or you can do high reps. I've learned this in the last few months, that you can destroy muscles with less weight and your joints feel better. So let's say that you, like if I'm curling hammer curls, for example, I like to do those heavy because it's as much of a forearm exercise as is a bicep exercise. And that's very functional, especially the forearm is very functional to everyday task. So I'm up there and I'm hammer curling 65 or 70 pound dumbbells for 6 and 8 reps. If I drop those reps down, or drop the weight down to say 40 and do 20 to 25 reps, hold on to your britches what you're going to feel like the next day. But the interesting thing about when I started implementing more of the high rep type stuff is joints just don't seem to be as sore. And I think a lot of that has to do is it's driving nutrient with the blood into the muscles and the tendons and the ligaments. And as we've heard on a podcast, the second interview I did on this, your muscle doesn't know what the weight is. It just knows when it's tired. You know, so instead of going up as heavy, do more reps. If you're resting 2 or 3 minutes between each set, knock it down to a minute and a half, then a minute, then 45 seconds, then 30 seconds. Oh my gosh, you're talking about stretching a muscle. You can have a PR just based off of that. But you need to be able to quantify what you're doing, because if you don't, guys, here's what happens. I see this in the gym on a day-to-day basis. In 9 months since I've been going to the gym that I'm going to, most people in there lift the same weight with the same reps with the same rest period 9 months after I first saw them lift weights. That's not advancement. That's stagnation. I'm not talking about trying to get ready for a bodybuilding show or a world record squat. I'm talking about advancing your physical abilities, especially functional. But when you do the same thing week after week, month after month, year after year, and you get frustrated because you don't feel any stronger, because guess what? You're not. And you don't look any different because your body has totally adapted to what you're doing. It's your fault. It's not the gym's fault or the weight's fault. It's your fault. Now, to increase intensity or volume or less time or more weight, it's harder. See, I personally think you should revel in that. Because if you're not struggling in the gym, what are you doing there? It's only an hour, hour and a half a day. Probably the only time in your day that realistically that most human beings in America today actually physically have to struggle is in a gym. And they're scared of it then. I'm not saying that you have to be the most hardcore lifter. I'm not saying that at all. But you need to understand what your capabilities are, so in a month from now, they're a little bit better. They don't have to be twice as good or half as good. They just need to be a little bit better. And the more you do that, the more your regular life is easier. Stuff's not as heavy to pick up. It's not as hard to work. Your brain works a little bit better. You're more mentally tough, which is to me the main reason males today need to go in the gym and get off their ass and put their body through a grueling workout. Not for physical reasons, but for mental reasons. Sitting in a cubicle typing all day, it makes you tired, but that is not what your body's looking for. You know that. It's looking for work. The human body is meant to work. It's meant to move. So figure out ways on your own PRs that you can advance where it suits what you need to do and not being so focused just on the weight. Think about that it's how to get certain standards in your life where you completely understand them in a go and no-go situation. And for goodness sake, if you're supporting a young man when he needs to be on his own, quit hurting him by being his mommy. Don't expect him to be a man because you're his backdrop. Let him grow up. Trust me, you would much rather have a male man come back to you in a few years. Y'all will have a better relationship, and you won't have to worry about him because he will have figured it out by then on his own. I know all of this is just dripping with male toxicity and lack of caring and compassion. Think about letting boys go to be men. If you don't, you're the one that doesn't care, and you're the one with a lack of compassion because you're enabling a boy to stay a boy when the boy needs to be a man. So you need to do the right thing so they can do the right thing.